very good Thursday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebeck.com. If you thought my voice was had a resonance to it yesterday, the good news is Tina and I both did a COVID thing test yesterday. It's not COVID. It just seems like it's, the original suggested grandchildren, petri dish. I thought I was free and clear yesterday, and then this thing landed in my chest. It's crazy. I feel worse. I don't feel worse. I sound worse. Even than I did on Tuesday. I mean, I, by all rights, where I am right now, I probably should have been off today and done the show Tuesday. Crazy. No, it doesn't hurt. Case saying I don't sound good at all. Well, it's weird. It's the not to go through the, like that awful mucus ad on television. I don't know what I've not. No, I'm okay, Case. I got a great show, I think, lined up. If we were in Vegas, I'd be in trouble, right? Because yeah, once you get to this point in Vegas, then my voice disappears. This was very strange. I mean, I. And you know, listen, a lot of you have been listening for, 15, 17 years. I don't, very rare. There may be some quiet moments like that where I have to hit the mute button and cough. What are you going to do? You got grandkids, you got germs. And speaking of the grandkids, I think you may have heard me hint the other day, and then I pulled myself up. They're going to have a third. They're having a third baby due in May. So congratulations to Zach and Andrea. Andrea always said she wanted a passel. And in this day and age, three's a lot, I think, but the first two are delightful. Lennon wants a sister. She's put in a request for a sister. So that's the nice news out of Rochester. A third grandchild. So now putting the pressure on Spencer down in Brooklyn. And also, I didn't get a chance because we had so much to do on Monday and then missed Tuesday altogether. Want to thank Judge Coker, Bill Coker, who is one of the great characters, not just around Finger Lakes, but anywhere he goes, Keeneland and Breeders' Cups and the like. Bill and his wife, Mary, they took us to dinner on Saturday night after the baby's birthday party. It was perfect and because we didn't get to see Bill at Saratoga this summer. So, because I usually comes in Labor Day weekend, and I, was on my way out of town. So, thanks to Bill and Mary, really fun. Went to a cool place called New York Beer Project. There's two out west, and apparently they're building one in Orlando of all places. So, it's pretty cool. All right. Regarding today, I reached out to some of the logical suspects, as it were, to discuss the news that came yesterday after we had talked to Alan Foreman. And I'm not even going to attempt. If Matt Hegarty can join us, I reached out to Matt, and I also reached out to Ed Martin from RCI. If you did not see the news yesterday, the HISA budgetary needs were outlined. And as expected. It's a lot of money, but it's very, very complex. It's not simply, you know, this is what it's going to cost. But this is one of the things that people were concerned about and had questions. So at least there's a discussion point. I went back to Alan Foreman. I didn't know if Alan wanted to come back today to address this. But his suggestion was to let the dust settle a little bit because he thinks it's a little too early. He said he's meeting with the ISA today. So if we get Matt, we'll let Matt just talk about the framework. Ed Martin from the Association of Racing Commissioners International can typically, you know, he might have saw his reaction and some quotes that Matt had. There's, you know, questions about economies of scale that could create savings. $72 million is the number for operations in 2023, which would cover the authority's full, you know, operating budget, including drug testing and investigation. There's some points in here that are contradictory, or if not contradictory, then at the very least, quizzical. How about that? How about quizzical? There was one quote that surprised me, and you haven't talked yet to Eric Hamelbeck about his thoughts yet, and we'll get everybody. And I'd like to get that done before the release of the pre-entries. So let's say by next, so between now and next Wednesday, we'll see how this is received by the state commissions. And one thing that I was sort of taken aback by was the acknowledgement. Let me find the paragraph. When I mentioned the economies of scale, in fact, I saved it. So here, let me see if I can't pull that forward, right? Because it's got to be on the, should be right here. Let me see. There it is, right there. Screenshot. I don't know how I keep track of anything. This surprised me to a degree, and HISA has acknowledged that the authority is likely to significantly reduce the number of analytical tests that are performed on post-race samples as compared to the industry's current practice under a program that relies more on targeted testing and out-of-competition sampling. Currently, the scope of Thoroughbred Racing's testing program far exceeds that of human sports due to its heavy reliance on race day sampling and testing. Top finishers and random horses out of races. That could reduce the total cost of testing for the industry, which is usually the single largest line item of any state's regulatory budget. So we're going to test less. We're going to test far less than we test now. I mean, I suppose some people will say, well, we don't, you know, testing's meaningless because we don't ever catch anybody or so far. I mean, when they say targeted testing, does that mean, you know, designer, you know, going after designer undetectables, et cetera? And, you know, some of the things that came up during the Navarro service fallout and, you know, some of the elements of Five Stones, et cetera, you know, the boots on the ground and you know, the suggestion that, you know, we've had about resurrecting a TRPB, you know, on track version. I mean, TRPB does, you know, basically is these days, you know, is monitoring pools. But, you know, there was a time where they were, know, they were the Bureau of Investigation and, you know, really effective in doing what they did. So that really kind of took me aback that, okay, we're going to test less. All right. I guess there's a method to this that that they've got that they expect to get results from. I mean, the out of competition, we all know that. So I would love to hear some of the postscript to this once everybody gets a chance to have their discussions, and we'll see if Matt Hegarty can't visit. All right, give you a little bit of a lineup glance. Sean Clancy later. Clancy. Little more recap from Far Hills, and it's a good weekend actually as well. Not, you know, last week, obviously the biggest weekend for the steeplechase set, but they're at Great Meadow on Saturday, and you got the Ferguson, and you've got the International Gold Cup, the Great Timber Race, and it's absolutely fabulous down there. That was actually the first thing I ever got to go to, way back when. With my long-running baseball rotisserie league, the Mid-Atlantic Rotisserie League, and my buddy, one of our longtime participants, Skip Moser, his brother was catering, his restaurateur, and his brother was catering the card, and had, you know, had a big spread, and so we got invited, and I'd been to horse shows, but not to a hunt meet style gathering. It was very cool, really cool. So we'll talk to Sean, and Sean had a win. I was pleased for him. Sean had that maiden win that closed out the card Saturday, and we'll see what he's got lined up. I haven't looked to see what he's running, but to Sean Clancy today, 10:30. Tony, we'll get him to visit with Tony, and later, Dave Hill, of course, in hour three, we'll get Dave had this roughest week. I tell you one thing that's really evident is, and I don't want to call it parity necessarily. I guess it's parity if there's all these teams that are, you know, 3-3 ish, right? In the NFL, the games are just, you know, the games are tight. They're really, and Dave made that point early on that seemed like that was going to be the theme of the season. So Dave, with an off week, his first losing week, I think. And although I'm just talking about the games that he gave to us, not necessarily the games that his total, you know, the whole weekend. So Dave Hill, hour three, and Dale Day. Is going to join us from Remington tomorrow night, the Oklahoma Classics night. And I've been to, as I've mentioned, I've been to an Oklahoma Classics. So much fun. And that's got to be back in, I've got the picture somewhere, probably right back there. That had to be about 2007, 8, something like that. Donnie K. Von Hemel. Donnie K. Was it our Fine Oaky? K Fine Oaky won the classic. I got to present the trophy. It's a good card. It's a very good card. I went through a little bit, and there's a few obvious short price types like Run Sloopy Run in the Distaff Turf, 3-5 on the morning line. But more often than not, there's some very competitive races, at least the top 2-3 in races that are competitive and might open it up. The fourth race, the Juvenile, I thought was absolutely wide open, 9-horse field. They got an early pick 5, late pick 5, early pick 4, late pick 4. As you know, they, after that bad incident. Gosh, it was 2 years ago now, probably. They abandoned the pick sixes. They said enough of this. And after that tough situation with the one, you know, it really was a one, you know, one individual player winner. But because of, was it a dead heat, right? It was a dead heat that cost the guy, you know, at least initially. I think ultimately it got paid, right, as I recall. But they said, you know what, and we all know the jackpot concept is really it's unnecessary, and it's not, just not good for the game. Anyway, this is a good card, and yeah, you're going to have a couple of short price types. I thought that it's funny. I'm anxious for Dale's thoughts. In the Philly and Mare, in the distaff, hits Pricey Legacy, who, of course, we talked about with C.R. Trout, is going to be even money. She does not have to win. She's All Wolf, speaking of Donnie Kay. She's All Wolf in that race, and there's a price in that race, Kachina, for Crash Craddock. Yeah. I did not think that was an absolute open and shut, even money guarantee for CR. So TRAO and their big night action starts tomorrow at 8:07 Eastern time. Actually, there's a couple of, I didn't look closely at them other than just a glance at the PPs. There's two Giant Field starter races that kick things off. 12 horses in the opener, $40,000 Oakey Bred, 7 furlong starters, and 12 in the first leg and 13 in the second. So they're probably worth looking at. And in fact, you know, you got a 4-1 favorite in the second, and a 7-2 favorite in the opener. So they both feel wide open. So it's a good card. And of course, you know, whenever we get to this interim period between the preps for the Breeders' Cup and the Breeders' Cup itself, there's the state bred action, and there's a nice parade. We will talk to Callie Francois tomorrow and go through Maryland Million Day. Always great. Tremendous celebration of Maryland breeding. And then next week, I think we've got New York, right? New York's got, always has one on that week. And I think there's the Best of Ohio as well. So, and plus some state bred things at Santa Anita. Who else? Let me actually hear. I've got it close at hand. Actually, I don't. I take that back. I do not. No, you've got. No, there isn't the state bred card at Aqueduct. They've got the AWOT, the Bull Ruler, the Kelso, and the Pumpkin Pie next Saturday. Interesting. Okay. Wasn't there always? There it is. There it is. It's on Sunday. I knew. I thought the Empire Classic, the Distaff, the Hudson, the Iroquois. These are always fun. These state bred days are funny because you get some short-priced winners that are just, you know, they're just dominant. Regional, you know, produced regionally, and in a lot of cases successful already against open company, and then they come home and, you know, try to take advantage of their state bred opportunity. So then there's also 40-1 shots that come marauding out of nowhere. So it's usually a fun card. And of course, you know, one thing that we have not talked about, right? The way in which the Churchill racing is going to ping pong, leading into Keeneland, and then following. So, yeah. And the claiming crown. In fact, you know what? You know what, Case? Do me a favor. Let's see if we can't. Let me see if we can't get Eric. That's saying the words claiming crown makes me think that he could, because Hegarty is seemingly unresponsive. So let me just check with Eric and see if he can join us. We actually are probably due a update on the turf as well at Churchill, because they're certainly hoping that it'll be ready. Because I think there's three turf races typically on that card. There's the sprint, and then one for the males and one for the female going long, 8.5. So, all right. So let me know, Case, how you make out there. All right. While we do that, Dale Day, Dave Hill, Sean Clancy, Tony Black, and we'll see about what's going to happen here in this next half hour. I left things open because I wanted to. I really thought we'd get Ed Martin, but I respect what Alan Foreman said. Alan said it's just there's too much to digest yet to figure this out. I also noticed, by the way, I see the Del Mar season, the Bing Crosby season, and I saw where Larry Comas is going to call November for Del Mar. Yesterday in that sequence, I think Keeneland, Keeneland is literally, it's literally like Lucy in the football. I got to tell you. You're rolling along, and you think you're going to cash a nice multi-race ticket, and somebody pops up that you just didn't see. The sequence that we went over with Seth yesterday, it was going along probably too formfully to suit most people. That American Starlet, the twirling candy for Wesley Ward, Claus Stable, and this is Ed Seltzer and Bev Anderson. You talk about people that, when you go to buy a horse, you can feel good about, what they produce. A lot of people we talk to, Bo Lane and Ed and Beverly. This twirling candy out of Forest Wildcat, Mare Boldly, American Starlet, Wire to Wire, under Johnny. There's Johnny again. 4-5 winner. And just 372, one pretty much in hand, if you saw it. Cyclone Mischief, Joe Talamo for Dale Romans and the Albaugh Family Stables with Castleton Lions. This is a Castleton bred into Mischief colt. Cyclone Mischief at 3-2, figured on paper, but there were a couple of horses that looked like they could compete, and this one was really... was really never in doubt. But that got us to that five-horse field. You had those scratches of Hollis and Doc Amster in the nominal feature. Heart Rhythm under really strong handling for John Ortiz, Raylu Gutierrez, and this a flat-out four-year-old that Gutierrez struck the front. Prevalence just didn't look sprightly, to say the least, at even money. I thought it's funny because with the scratches, that horse that I mentioned here, my song, ended up actually going off as the second choice at 5-2. Prevalence even money, 6-1 though for Heart Rhythm. So paid $13.82. So that sort of tickled things, and depending on how wide you spread, and as it happens, Seth was savvy enough to have Heart Rhythm on his ticket, so he's live to two horses, the two horses that were just so logical in that nightcap, the one, Shannon, and the nine, Opening Buzz, and. Unbelievable. Jason Barkley with NBS Stable, a spendthrift bred Lord Nelson comes just absolutely storming at 20-1, 21-1, paid $44.50, and you know, nabbed Shannon. I mean, it wouldn't have paid Boxcars, but it would have been okay with that $13 winner in the third leg. But instead, you ended up with really nice numbers. The pick five paid $6,400, $500,000 pool, and the pick four paid $1,354. If you found this horse, Abakir Bay. So, Keeneland's been challenging, and you had a couple of prices early too on the card that opener. You had Dan Sanner with a 21-1 shot, wire to wire, under Jesus Castellanon. One cool dude, Mine Shaft, and one easy. Paid $45.26. So there were some attractive mutuals. So, all right, that's enough of that, and we're seeing if no good for Eric, huh? All right, not a problem. Yeah, and I'm very surprised to not get. Usually Matt's pretty. That's pretty quick about replying. All right, Case. Nah, here, give this. Give it. Yeah. He could. He must be involved in something then, because and in fact he would have sent me a text as I was discussing this budget to open the show. So we'll get him when we can. As we discussed yesterday with Andy, you got some nice late action at Aqueduct today. And we'll try to get a sequence play put together. I looked at Keeneland too, so maybe we'll see if one of the boys has any Keeneland ideas today. Looking ahead, though, let's catch up on the way the weekend shapes. In addition to tomorrow night, Keeneland rolls into Saturday, the Perryville, which, of course, came up with a few different people recently on recent visits. Steve Asmussen and Gunite in here. Field of Eight for the three-year-olds going to 7/8. Some of the usual suspects. One interesting call here by Doug O'Neill with Joe Besseker's B-Doc. One of the fun things about being at the Pennsylvania Derby three Saturdays, whatever it was, and having Brian Dawkins on hand. They're turning back in here. This is to 7/8 with B-Doc, which could make him very attractive. Gunite draws the open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear. We will talk to Marty tomorrow. Of a Revolution for Safi Joseph. You've got Provocateur back for Todd as well. Pinehurst in here, the SF group that has got him with Brendan Walsh. Johnny picks up Artorias for Chad Brown. And, you know, very quietly, it's funny, Chad has had certainly plenty of stake wins over the late summer, early fall. But I don't think until you sit down and pull up these prospective Breeders' Cup fields, Chad's got a very nice set of, you know, beside the Champagne winner, he's got a very nice set of two-year-olds poised for Breeders' Cup. The other stake, the Raven Run, balance over the three-year-old fillies, and there's a couple of fresh faces in here actually, and Field of Nine came together. Wicked Halo in here, call for Steve Asmussen, of course, and How about John Terranova with both Union Lake and Midnight Stroll? It was pretty good. Good for John. And Smash Ticket for Rob Attriss shows up in here. That Fingal's Cave for Dave Donk. And boy, I mean, it's a whole, the whole field is, they didn't leave much room for Kentucky Horsemen. This is all, it turned up, I didn't really notice this until now. It's all New York. It's pretty much all New York Horsemen. Eddie Keneally's there with Last Leaf as well. So, nice group of nine. So that's, so we start to wind down and the Keeneland meet pre-Breeders' Cup, and they'll have today. What are they drawing today? Today they've got for Sunday. I think there's something. Oh, you know, I forgot about New Mexico too. By the way, next week, New Mexico's got their New Mexico Day. The last stakes before Breeders' Cup week is the Bryant Station. There you go, the three-year-old turf mile that came up. Although I'm going to talk to you right now about the horses that Shug had mentioned. Shug ended up entering two of the three that he discussed with us on Monday in the Hill Prince. You got the Hill Prince and the Noble Damsel on Saturday, but let's talk about the Hill Prince, the grade two for the three-year-olds. And a nice field of 10. Shug bookends this group with Celestial City on the inside, Janny and his other horse, Limited Liability, for Stewart, and the 10 hole. And then between is a little bit of everything, nice smattering. Grand Sonata shows up here for Todd. He's also got, and Mandy Pope, he's also got Be Better for Rapoli. So two from Shug, two from Todd, two from Chad. McKinnon for Eric Johnson, and Seth Klarman's Unanimous Consent. So there's six from three horsemen. Then you've got Ray Handel, Constitution Lawyer. Chucky Lawrence shows up with Nantasket Beach. How about St. Anthony for Neil Drysdale for Mrs. Bamford? And Mike Maker for Kirk, actually for Jordan Wyckoff, Wicked Fast. Nice field for the Hill Prince. The card's all right Saturday. The Noble Damsel, just a five-pack in there. Plum Alley for Clement. He's also got Messador. And then Evie Jets that Merkin Cantamasi has having success with. So, field of five. Who else? Falcone kept waiting, and Tyler Surface comes up from Philly with Por Que No. So those are the two big sequences and the major stakes for the weekend. The Ontario Matron too at Woodbine. There's actually a couple of stakes again. Last week there were those two stakes Friday. The Ontario condition things, and there's the Grade 3 Matron on Saturday at Woodbine. And this the horse to watch that we talked about with Mark Cassie, Our Flash Drive for Mrs. Weber. And it looks like she's on the upswing, to say the least. Well, all right, we got... No, wow. All right, Case. I probably should have had a wider net cast, I suppose, for just in case. But I certainly expected that. I certainly expected that any of the potential visitors would have manifested themselves. But no. All right. You know what, then? Okay, let's do this, then. Let's take an early break. It's a good idea, because I also got to run downstairs and get a little something. I mainlined the tea and the honey this morning and bypassed the coffee. And it doesn't hurt. Just sounds bad. But I do need to lubricate. All right. There you go. Let's see if there's anything else that is on here that I can clear off. save that for next opportunity. All right. Yeah. We'll put those together. Is the HISA pile just gets taller and taller? Because I can't throw anything away. Very bad that way. Yeah. All right. That I don't need. Very good. All right. We'll take a break. Come back with you after this, after races. Sirius XM. Stay with us.
It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania.